This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
It's going to be in Cleveland in 2016. The Republican National Committee has chosen Cleveland.
It's not the place you come to sleep, but I tell you what, how comfortable is that? Probably won't have any neck problems tomorrow.
Fighting for Idaho.
I kept thinking that you just need to change your slogan at the beginning of your show. Instead of if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press, it should be if it's Sunday, it's another administration official making stuff up and Meet the Press.
Fighting for you.
People are sleeping while they drive. I'm sitting there and watching. They're on their cell phone, forget it.
Right, but you see, you should have come out with this. Now we've got to go, and you're giving us the best stuff.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
I'm sorry.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. We're joined by attorney. We're joined by candidate for governor, John Bujak, with us. Mr. Bujak, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you with us. You know, I remember the only time I had a chance to speak with you was when you were helping Vaughn Ward for Congress. Doesn't seem like a world away.
It does seem like a long time ago and a world away.
It does. Let's take us through your journey from where you were then to today. Your thoughts on all the life experiences that you've had, quite a public profile, sir.
Indeed, and it's been a real journey, and it's part of the reason that I'm running for governor now. You know, back when I was involved in Vaughn Ward's campaign, I was the elected prosecutor in Canyon County, doing a lot of good work there, saving the taxpayers a lot of dollars, improving the quality of justice, and looking forward, having an eye on a more comprehensive role in Idaho government and Idaho leadership. And I had a run-in with people that I've come to call the good old boys, these people who've taken over the GOP here in Idaho. And, of course, now the GOP is imploding, which is a part of the reason that I've crossed over and become a libertarian. But watching the Republicans and the way that their rules worked on the inside, when I didn't go along with those rules, didn't follow their rules, the system came crashing down around me. And I found myself over a three-year period facing five different criminal trials, one charge after another, charges stacked on top of charges, sometimes getting arrested every other week. And in the end, you know, we went into the courtroom and the people in the form of the jury heard the evidence and found me not guilty. And here I am, able to run and with a renewed appreciation for the American system of justice. And what it's done for me is really highlight the fact that these insiders within the GOP, they're going to serve their own interests, they're going to serve special interests, and they're going to use the awesome power of the government to hold people in check if they disagree.
John Bujak with us, 580-5436, 580-5436, Kevin Miller here. Let me ask you this, though. You at one time were rumored to be a candidate for Congress, the next governor, all these sorts of things. So when you were faced with these charges, when you were arrested, when you were public enemy number one, how did you make it through, and how did you convince yourself not to cop a plea, not to do anything else, when you saw things that were not very complimentary about you in the press and everything else? But again, not like the court. You don't get a chance to get your side out.
That's right. And certainly when you face criminal charges, you don't talk about it. You have a right to remain silent, and it's always a good idea to exercise that right until the jury hears the evidence. And so you don't get a chance to really tell your side of the story, and you sit there and get blasted in the press by the people making the accusations. But I'll tell you, three things got me through. My faith, my family, and especially my wife, who's here in the studio with me this morning. Getting up every day and knowing that there was a destiny and that there's power in the truth. And, you know, I never wavered. I never thought about the what if things went wrong. I just looked forward knowing that I was being vetted. I was being tested. I was being prepared for some kind of greater destiny. And I think that destiny is to bring some common sense back to Idaho politics and to give politics and the government back to the people.
Nobody beats the feds, but you did.
You know, that's what everyone says, and even you hear it among the defense bar. Nobody beats the feds, but you do beat the feds when the truth is on your side. Again, there's power in the truth, and there's power in providence, and there's power in destiny. And again, I think that one message that my experience sends is I stand on principle. I'm not afraid to take on the government and the establishment, and I win.
What do you say to folks, though, that have already convicted you in the court of public opinion? You have beaten all the charges. You are a free man. You're, once again, a very successful attorney. You're running for governor. You are rolling once again. Why? But you have people that say, oh, that blankety blank Mr. Bujak. What do you say to them that say, look, I'm electable, I'm credible, I'm trustworthy?
Well, I think that people are going to have their opinions, and I think no matter who you are or for what you stand, there are going to be the people that disagree, and that's okay. That's part of our First Amendment rights. And if they don't like what I stand for, I'm not going to pander to them. They should go vote for somebody else. But they need to be aware that if they vote for the traditional candidates in this election, they're going to get politics as usual, and that's a political system that panders to insiders, doesn't listen to the people, and doesn't get things done.
I'm sure you're very familiar with Governor Otter. I'm sure you're probably good friends with him. He's a charismatic, friendly gentleman, a likable person. Why you as opposed to Governor Otter?
And Governor Otter is a nice person. I've only met him on a couple of occasions. I think he's done some good things for Idaho, and I think he's well-intentioned. But I also think that no one's immune to what happens to a politician after you've been in the political system for a lot of years. And Governor Otter has been in the system for a lot of years. He's running for a third term as governor. It's happened before, but you start living within this bubble in the political system, and you don't bring new ideas to the table, and you find yourself in a position where you don't have fresh data from the outside. All you have is data from the inside. I watch Governor Otter continue to form more and more groups of committees to talk about issues, and there's a whole lot of talk and not a whole lot of action and nothing getting done. And do I criticize him for that? I don't criticize him as a person, but I think it's part of the effect of what happens when you have someone sitting in the big chair for too long. He's done his job. He's done it admirably, but I think it's time for him to move aside so someone with fresh ideas and new blood can step into the office and get things done.
Mr. Bujak, when you take a look at the governor, many of his critics within the grassroots Republican Party will say, mostly all the time here at 580KIDO, that the lobbyists, and you've kind of alluded to that, but the lobbyists do control this administration. Do you agree with that statement?
I absolutely do. It's controlled by the insiders, and when I talk about the insiders, that's the lobbyists, and it's also the National Republican Party. And you're watching the National Republican Party monkey with the Idaho Republican Party right now, and the result is we have a divided Republican Party that can't even organize within itself to get things done. That's not a model for leadership. That's not a model that's going to allow us to get things done here in Idaho.
John Bujak with us here at 580KIDO. Now, I know how this works. Everybody's going to wait until the last half hour of the program, and we're only going to get to three of 27 questions here. So now is the time to call in if you have a thought, a comment about the gubernatorial race, about Mr. Bujak's candidacy, about the past, about the future. Let's go over some of the other issues. You've seen the infighting that has gone on. You saw the Fulcher campaign. You've had the unique opportunity to be running, yet to sit back and take a look at this contentious primary. Your thoughts on Fulcher v. Otter and the after impacts?
Well, I think the loud and clear is that Idahoans are ready for a change, and in particular within the Republican Party. And one thing that's important to remember when you look at the voters in Idaho, you know, there are more independent voters, I mean voters who aren't registered as Republicans or Democrats, than those who are registered as Republicans and Democrats combined. And so you have this independent constituency out there that's looking for a pragmatic leader, looking for somebody who's conservative, looking for somebody who has the right values, but they don't buy in wholeheartedly to the Republican point of view or the Democratic point of view. But
there's a lot of folks like that that said, just as you have, the Republican Party has left me and they have nowhere to go.
That's right. And I think Senator Fulcher tried to bring some common sense back to the party, a new view, some different views. I think he's probably too far right. And what I mean by that is I think he'd come in and do more to stymie the getting things done in the government here in Idaho than actually work cooperatively to get things done. But the important thing is the people spoke up and said, especially in these larger counties, we like fresh ideas and we like somebody other than Governor Otter.
Were you surprised that the governor lost his home counties of Ada and Canyon County? Historically, I don't know if that's happened, but I mean, in a primary, close primary, which, I know the governor's not a fan of. To me, I think that's how you make sure the Republicans actually vote Republican and the Democrats as well, because a lot of folks have made a big deal out of losing Ada and Canyon County.
And it is a big deal. It's really surprising. I would say you look at the data, and whoever takes the largest counties tend to win.
Right.
I think it's amazing that you see the governor winning in the primary basically because of the voters in the rural community. I think that's huge.
Let's go to the phones, and we start with Lori or John Bujak with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Lori.
Oh, good morning. Mr. Bujak, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the implementation of OtterCare, Obamacare in Idaho, and generally, what are your thoughts on issues involving Idaho state sovereignty? What would you do to protect Idaho's sovereignty against more federal intrusion?
And Lori, those are great questions. I, as a libertarian, and also personally, because I think my views differ from the libertarian platform, if you look at it as a whole, to some degree, government is too much involved in our lives. And whether it's health care or anything else, government, I think, needs to get their nose out of our business. And the thought that they're going to come in the form of Obamacare or OtterCare or any other government mandate and tell us how we're going to purchase health insurance or even whether we should is ridiculous. Now, the reality is the feds have passed a law that require it, and Governor Otter has bought into that, and now we have Obamacare / OtterCare here in Idaho, and you can't just go into office and nix that, and not unilaterally and not immediately. But I think that Idaho has to stand up and say we're not going to let the federal government dictate how we do business here in Idaho, and I would do everything I can in the office in order to send that message back to Washington, D.C., and to send it to our legislators here in Idaho to try to diminish the effect of Obamacare and OtterCare and prevent it, anything like that from happening again.
Lori, anything else?
What do you see as some of the other issues that that are state sovereignty issues that you would ask, for instance, your attorney general to prosecute or defend against or defend Idaho's position?
I think there are a lot of them. I think the federal government has their fingers in all kinds of pies here in Idaho, and that's directly related to our dependency on federal dollars. We don't get federal dollars here in Idaho without having to give up some of our freedoms as a state. And so, you look at areas like education. You look at areas like management of our lands here in Idaho. You even look at restrictions that the federal government is trying to place on our ability to possess firearms. All these things need to be defended against, but they need to be defended against in an intelligent manner. And when you talk about sending the attorney general or some other legal entity on behalf of the state to go into courts and fight, I think we have to be pragmatic and have to be sensible, because you can easily start throwing a lot of money down the drain in court battles that can be better used for other endeavors here in Idaho to improve our infrastructure and our way of life, or to just simply cut taxes and not need those monies at all. So I think that the fight really comes down to working cooperatively, working with our federal representatives back in Washington, D.C., and working cooperatively to limit the effect of federal mandates and federal government and their policies here in Idaho.
All right, Lori, thank you for the call. We go to Gene in CUNA for John Bujak at 580KIDO. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. Good morning, Kevin. Always a pleasure. Mr. Bujak, I just have a couple of questions and one comment. I don't want to take a lot of your time. The thing with the like the Cliven Bundy issue in Nevada, what do you propose to do if the federal government comes in and says to somebody like the folks down in Canyon County there that we're going to take over part of your land, you can't graze your cows here anymore, and even though you paid us all this money, we're going to kick you off the land no matter what. That's kind of a hostile takeover, I do believe. And my one opinion or my one comment would be, the people in Idaho, they've known Governor Butch for years. Maybe he stayed at the party too long. Maybe he's tired. I don't know what the issues are, but I do know that in politics, and I've seen this time and time again, there is such a mudslinging act going on, and it irritates me to no end, that why can't people just get along? And look, if you're going to run a race, run a good, clean, solid race. It sounds to me, sir, like you could do this. And I've listened to several other clips and comments that you've talked about. And right now I'm trying to form an opinion whether I should continue on with, you know, the governor at hand, or swing my vote your way. And so far, it's solidly becoming clear to me that you are going to be the man that's going to take the fight to the enemy. And that's what we need here in Idaho. We don't need the feds coming in and say, like Lori just asked you about, that, you know, our guns and our rights and our opinions, and like the federal people, they say, well, that doesn't matter. Only our opinion matters. And that's not true. I gave the military 14 years of my life, and I'm just disgusted at some of the things that I'm seeing now. And our military can't get health care. And even myself, I've fought my health care for 5 years, and I can't even get my disability. And believe me, my friend, I am disabled to the hilt here. But anyway,
you're still working 7 days a week.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I'm not letting my disabilities run me. I'm running them. And that's just the thing. I've been stabbed 32 times, and I've had both shoulders blown out, and I've got a chunk of meat missing out of my leg. So it's like you run your disabilities. You don't let them run you. But still, it is what it is, and we just deal with it and go on. But I won't take up any more of your time. And I'll listen to the comments and everything off air, but it's really a pleasure to talk to you, sir. And Kevin, it's always a pleasure, and God bless you, my friend, and I'm behind you 100%.
God bless you, Gene. Take care.
You too. Bye now.
Bye-bye, and thank you for your service. Coming up next, Mr. Bujak has a national television appearance tonight. We'll talk about that. He'll answer Gene's questions, more from you, and Tea Party Bob on hold as well. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you're just tuning in, John Bujak with us, talking about his candidacy for, the governorship, if you will, of the state of Idaho. Number one. Number two, state sovereignty, the Second Amendment, marriage, all big issues that need to be addressed here today. Let's get you to work safely enough.
If people knew and understood in Idaho what they've got with Kevin Miller here at KIDO, they would all tune in.
Yes, good morning, Kevin. I love your show, by the way.
Good morning, Kevin. You have a great show. You got a great bunch of guests on.
Good morning, Kevin. You're doing fantastic.
You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Let's get it started.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, John Bujak with us. By the way, johnbujak.com is his site. A very creative, and I remember when this site went active, sir. I mean, you've tapped into Game of Thrones, you've tapped into House of Cards, and you've made it relevant to Idaho politics. I again, maybe I don't get out much. It was a Saturday morning when I was just sitting there looking at this. Tell us a little bit about your website.
Well, you know, the website, first of all, is due in large part to the creative genius of my wife. And it was put together by a bunch of volunteers. I didn't have a lot of money. At the time, I was under federal indictment. But I wanted to make a strong statement and a statement that would resonate. And I think most Idahoans understand that special interests run politics. And there is a house of cards that needs to be toppled. And if that can be done, Idaho politics and the Idaho government can be given back to the people, and Idaho can realize its potential. And so I think it was a good way, a visual way of communicating the message, using these themes that I think everybody understand. And again, it resonates.
Back to Gene's question, and it seems like a lifetime ago because we live in such an ADD world, but he was really looking for a governor that's going to, well, not just to take orders from the feds, not take money from the feds. That is a concern when you consider how much money the federal government contributes to our general fund. Your thoughts? You fought the feds. You've won on a relationship that the next Idaho governor should have with the feds.
Well, I mean, there has to be. I learned that as the prosecutor in Canyon County. If you work cooperatively, you can get amazing things done. And, of course, in that context, we got rid of gangs in Canyon County. That was a huge deal. You can work cooperatively with the federal government, but you have to be vigilant. And I don't think we need to take their money with the conditions that come along with it. And so we need to start weaning ourselves off of that federal money, and we need to take a strong stance. You know, for example, you know, the federal government's trying to come in and tell Idahoans they can't recreate on Lake Lowell. I think the governor needs to work with local and county officials to send the strong message that we're not going to tolerate that. Idahoans want to recreate. They have a tradition of recreating there, and that's what we're going to do. And if we have to have a fight about that, we'll have a fight about it.
Speaking of fight, we go to the publisher of the Gem State Patriot, Tea Party Bob, with John Bujak at 580 KIDO.
Morning, John. How are you this morning? Morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
And Kevin, by the way, thanks for having John on. We don't often get to the third parties in these races. Two quick questions. Idaho has more minimum wage jobs than almost any other state in the country. How would you go about improving our economy and bringing more high-paying jobs to our state? And what's your opinion on Common Core, and would you continue to implement this federally run top-down curriculum or be willing to listen to the people and look at alternatives?
Okay, great questions. And I get those a lot as I travel around the state and talk to people. You know, what people ask me, what are you going to do as governor to fix the economy? And the first thing that comes to mind for me is, you know, it's really not the government's job to fix the economy. And I think part of the problem is there is an incorrect focus within the government on the economy. And I think part of the problem is government won't get out of the way. And I think the free market takes care of itself if it's allowed to run as a free market. And so here's what I would do. I would change the focus to help improve the infrastructure, in particular our transportation system here in Idaho. I'd help small businesses where I could. I don't think with government dollars, I don't think bailing out or having this redistribution of wealth to help people is the right answer. But if there's regulatory changes that can be made or reductions in regulation or tax cuts that can be done to help businesses that exist here thrive, that's great. And then I think government needs to get out of the way and let the free market revive the economy, because I think it will. You know, what hinders the economy right now is when businesses fail, which is just part of business and economic cycles, the government is stepping in and bailing people out. And that shouldn't be the role of government. That's not what we're called upon to do as leaders in government. So that's what I have to say about the, you know, improving the economy here in Idaho. And as far as Common Core, again, government, please get your nose out of our business. I think that there needs to be standards to measure how well our students are learning, but the teachers ought to be free to be creative in the way that they teach. You know, look at, for example, you know, this isn't obviously the elementary school or high school, but you look at college professors where they have freedom in the style of the way they teach. I remember in college having probably as many different styles as I had professors. And the bottom line is they needed to give us the information and teach us and give us skills that we can use practically in the real world. And as long as they got that done, why should it matter how they do it? And the government, what business do they have telling these teachers how to do their job? So Common Core, absolutely not. I think Idaho teachers need to be able to teach kids in a way that's effective and just measure the standard of performance and maybe even reward them for good performance when the students perform up to standard.
Tea Party Bob, thank you. And again, I'm sure he'll be contacting you to get an interview with the Gem State Patriot.
Thank you very much, John, for your time, and good luck in your election.
See, now he's got Now he's got me doing his work for him.
You're great, Kevin. We'll see you tomorrow.
I knew that was coming. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. To Mike in Middleton for John Bujak at 580KIDO. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me call in. I just wanted to say I really like what you've been saying this morning. However, you know, from a voter standpoint, I had one question. As far as running the state, that's a big financial obligation, I guess. And I was wondering, you know, like in your personal finances, you know, I understand everybody has financial problems from time to time, but where you've had a bankruptcy, what makes you qualified to run the state?
Boy, that's a great question. And certainly my hardships, you know, I take responsibility for my hardships. I think we all need to take responsibility for our personal decisions in life. But I've had kind of an extreme trial, if you will, over the last 3 years. You know, I found myself having to file bankruptcy as I came under fire by the political machine. And so I don't know that that the fact that I filed for bankruptcy is a true measure of my ability to run the state. You know, I can tell you, prior to being the prosecutor, I ran a private law firm for a decade, and I was very successful. It was only after I ran afoul of the political insiders and wasn't able to make a living because of what they were smearing all over the press that I was forced to file for bankruptcy. So, you know, I guess I'd ask you to look to my performance as a businessman before the mess in Canyon County. And look at that as an example of how I can manage money and how I would be an effective leader from an economic perspective in running the state.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, Mike.
All right, Mike, we appreciate it. It is 7:35, time for the news. Then more with John Bujak. Phone number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. You're listening to 580-KIDO.
on Hannity. Weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. John Bujak with us, johnbujak.com. He's running for governor, libertarian ticket. Big show tonight on MSNBC, on NBC. You're going to be featured. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. It's a Dateline episode entitled One Summer Night. It's about the Linda LaBrain case in Canyon County. And my nexus with that case is when I was the Canyon County prosecutor, I had the Idaho Innocence Project come to see me about some concerns they had about the conviction in that case. And I was convinced enough by the evidence that they brought to me to reopen the case.
And what are we going to see tonight, you think?
Well, I think you're going to see, at least from my perspective, a couple of things. And I haven't seen the final product, so I don't know what ended up on the cutting room floor. But certainly my interview with Keith Morrison focused around two main points. One, the reason that I reopened the case and whether I thought there was a just result. And also, what happens when good old boy politics have an effect on the criminal justice system and how the criminal justice system can go awry in those circumstances.
How difficult it as a prosecutor? Now, most of us, again, we get our law degrees from Law and Order and SVU and all these things. How difficult is it as a prosecutor, both personally and professionally, to reopen a case?
Well, I mean, personally, it's not that hard, at least for me. I viewed the role of a prosecutor as one of a minister of justice, which is what the ethical rules say about being a prosecutor. So it's really, in some respects, one of the easiest jobs because you just wear the white hat and do the right thing. And so if the right thing is a person's been wrongfully convicted or you believe there's evidence that would support that theory, it's easy to reopen the case because all you're looking for is the truth. Now, politically, it's very difficult because you have a person who's been a victim of an egregious crime. A jury has already spoken, although in this case, I believe, without hearing all of the relevant evidence. And so you reopen a case, and that can sometimes cause a political stir because it's making you look soft on crime.
Let's talk a little bit about your realistic chances as a libertarian. Obviously, in the Mountain West, a libertarian vibe is very prevalent. We've seen that with folks wanting government out of their lives, the governor saying he's more of a libertarian Republican. But can that political party, can your candidacy capture enough votes to make an impact, which I think it already will, but to be relevant and possibly win?
I think in Idaho that's true. I mean, nationally, I think no way. The Republicans and the Democrats are the only ones who have access, ballot access in all 50 states, and they have the network and the financing in place to run national campaigns. But in Idaho, it's a different dynamic. And again, as I spoke about earlier in the broadcast, there are more independent voters out there than voters who have registered as Republican or Democrats. And so they're going to make a choice, I think, more in line with who's the best candidates. Now, you'll have the Republican zombies go out and vote for Republicans, and the Democratic zombies go out and vote for the Democrats. But still, the independent voters outnumber those folks. And so if they care enough, if they believe that I'm going to make a difference, if they want something other than politics as usual and will register and actually get to the polls and vote, their voice will be heard and I can win.
What would you do in your first 100 days?
Oh, there's a whole laundry list of things. But I think most importantly, because I'm a systems thinker, I would spend a lot of time reevaluating government, cutting the fat, and getting rid of stuff that doesn't need to be there. I could think in my first State of the State address, I'd call upon the legislature to clean up the code. There's just so many regulations and statutes on the books we don't even use. Let's clean it up, get rid of the stuff we don't need, and work on what needs to be accomplished and pass laws that make sense and are going to help government run more efficiently here in Idaho.
You have a unique view. We've talked about Governor Hodder and your differences with him. What about Mr. Belukov?
You know, I don't know much about Mr. Belukov other than I understand, and again, this is from third-hand knowledge, he used to be a Republican. I think his politics tend to run along the good old boy streams just as much as Governor Otter's do. I mean, he seems to be a one-issue candidate focusing on education, which is admirable. He's tied his hopes to a Democratic ticket, the smallest number of folks. If you talk about the people who are just going to come out and vote the party lines, he's got a lot of resources. He's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of ties to insiders. So I think people, if they want to come out and vote for him, one, I think he has less of a chance of winning than I do. And two, I think you're going to still end up with politics as usual with a liberal bent. And I don't think that's what the people of Idaho want.
Well, there is a lot of anger at the grassroots level. Let's go on. You've talked about the good old boys. Who is a good old boy?
Well, the good old boys are the people who are connected within government, and the connection tends to stem from monetary contributions. I mean, you watch this vicious cycle that happens in government, both locally and nationally, and you have politicians who get in positions of power, lobbyists get their ear, they get them oiled up and doing what they want them to do, and then they continue to pour money into their campaigns to keep them in that position so the lobbyists continue to have influence. And so if you don't have money or you're not connected through that lobbyist network, you don't have a voice. And so that's why the grassroots movement is so prevalent in Idaho. Here are a bunch of Idahoans who don't have a voice. They're not linked into the lobbyist network. They're not linked into the Republican network in a way where their voice matters. And no one's listening to them, and no one's doing what they want the people to do.
Well, what do you think about the chairmanship issue?
Well, what a mess, right? I think, again, Republicans feel betrayed to some degree. They go up to the state convention. They can't get anything done because of the division in the party. And then when they decide to adjourn, they're told one thing. And then after the fact, they're being told another thing. And a lot of what they're being told, is coming from a national level as far as their chairman that they think is still in place not being in place. And so now we have two different factions calling for two different meetings, and unfortunately a national Republican view that's probably going to end up controlling on the issue if we want to have a voice on the national stage. And so I think you're just going to have a lot of disgruntled Republicans at the end of the day because they're going to feel betrayed by what they were told by leadership at the convention.
Governor Otter, good old boy.
Governor Otter has become a good old boy because of the amount of time he's spent in government. He's been connected back to Washington, D.C. He's connected now with the number of years he's spent in government here in Idaho. He's certainly influenced by lobbyists. He certainly isn't accessible. I'll give you an example, the Add the Words campaign. Whatever you think about that movement, whether you agree or disagree, they're still Americans, they're still Idahoans, they still deserve to have a voice. And for Governor Otter to refuse to listen to those people, they don't have a voice. And for him to take that stance, and quite frankly, I thought a cowardly stance, to have Idaho State Police arrest those folks before he'd even go up to his office, leadership.
They were breaking the law. They were in his office. If you and I went into his office, we'd be breaking the law.
Well, they were standing outside his office to make a point.
They were blocking access. You're a lawyer. You know the deal.
I know, and I think it's cowardly not to just go and address the issue. I mean, they had an issue. Go up and tell them you don't agree and tell them to disperse, but don't send in the heavies to arrest them and remove them. I'll tell you what. I had a similar thing. I charged a young man when he killed his father in Canyon County as an adult, and I had a number of people protest outside of the courthouse. And they were calling for me to come out, and they were getting a little rowdy. I could have asked the sheriff to go out and deal with it or the Caldwell police to go out and deal with it. Instead, I went out and dealt with it. And you know what? They just wanted to be heard. And at the end of the day, we agreed to disagree, but they had a voice, and they dispersed peacefully, and that was a better result.
Quickly to John and Wilder for John Bujak at 580KIDO. Hello, John.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Mr. Bujak, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, sir.
I have to make a little confession. My opinion of you has been largely shaped by the media, but you're changing my mind based on what you've said this morning, and most of it I agree with. But the one thing I did want to ask you about, would you press for an aggregate of term limits? And do you think term limits is something that should be considered?
You know, sir, I believe that term limits are very important. And the reason is because when politicians stay in place too long, they become good old boys. They become part of the system. They're subject to corruption. And I think there is something to be gained by people with fresh ideas coming in regularly to government to provide new and fresh leadership and new and fresh perspective being more responsive to the people. So I support term limits wholeheartedly.
All right, John, thank you for the call. Let's get to traffic now at 580KIDO.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next hour, Ed Klein will join us, author of Bloodsport. The Clintons are after him again. That's Clinton v. Obama, the inside story. We'll talk about that with Ed Klein. Phone number's here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Here we are with John Bujak, johnbujak.com for governor. What do you want to say to people right now that are very dissatisfied with both candidates and what they can do to join your campaign possibly, number one, and number two, that you're a credible candidate?
Well, I mean, if people want to help with the campaign, the easiest thing is go to the website, johnbujak.com. There's a contact form there. Just let us know you're interested, and we'll reach out and let you know how you can help. As far as me and being a legitimate candidate and a candidate that can win, you know, I asked them to take a look at the political playing field right now and understand Idaho has traditionally been a Republican state. We believe in conservative Christian values, but our Republican Party is simply in disrepair, and it continues to implode. There's no leadership there, and nothing's getting done. There's a whole lot of talk and no action. My history, both personally and politically, is I get things done. If you want to see positive change, if you want to see things done, I'm the guy to vote for. And I can tell you the grassroots movement is afoot. People are getting excited, and people that don't normally vote are coming to the polls. And so I ask you to get informed, I ask you to come out, and I ask you to vote in November, because we can take Idaho back. By your power, the power of your vote, we can take Idaho back for the people.
All right, quick question here at 580KIDO. If you had to pick between one miniseries, Game of Thrones or House of Cards, which would it be?
Oh, wow. I love them both. I'm a big House of Cards fan. I think I would pick House of Cards ahead of Game of Thrones.
See, we ask the tough questions here quickly to traffic at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave. And 580KIDO. For more information about John Bujak, you can go to johnbujak.com. Coming up next, blood sport, the Clintons versus the Obamas, and the Clintons are not happy with Ed Klein. Coming up next, your chance to talk to Ed Klein with Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Serving